walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness,
on them light has shined.
The light grows gradually brighter as we move through Advent together. The candle of hope already burns bright. Today, we light the candle of preparation.
The coming Christ desires all of us to thrive, patiently wanting us to turn from the ways of sin and death. As we wait for the coming of the day of God, we want to be ready. Seeking a straight path, we light this candle to guide our steps. Together, we prepare the way and strive to lead lives of holiness, goodness, and peace.
Come, let us worship God together.
The prophet says, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Let us open our hearts to healing and forgiveness in seeking God, first in silence, then praying together. Let us pray. O Lord, we confess that we have not kept watch for you. We have occupied ourselves with our own concerns. We have not waited to find your will for us. We have not noticed the needs of the people around us. We have not acknowledged the love that has been shown to us. Forgive us for our lack of watchfulness. Help us to wait to know your will. Help us to look out for the needs of others. Help us to work and watch for your coming. In humble faith we pray. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together, remaining seated, our song of confession, Create in Me. The words will be projected on the screen. The mercy of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. So great is God's power. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
This is the time in our worship service where we take a few moments to share together our joys and concerns, to lift up prayer requests, things that we want to bring to God from our own lives or from the lives of people we care about. I'm wondering, what's on your heart today? What are you asking for prayers for this morning? Sean.
I'd like to announce the arrival of Eric J. June Patton for the first time at church today, and I hope he brings joy to everybody's hearts. And I would like continuing prayer and blessings for Theo and Eric through the Christmas season for their health and happiness.
Great. Welcome. It's Eric J. June.
Eric J. June.
Eric J. June, welcome. Take a look. Other prayers today. Andrew Foster. Wow.
The Lazarus himself. Rumors are my devices and greatly exaggerated. Anyway, I appreciate all your prayers this week. By the end of Sunday, I was feeling just fine. And the good news is the doctors couldn't find anything wrong. The bad news is the doctors couldn't find anything wrong. And I'm off to India next week, so do keep me in your prayers. Thanks.
Great. Praise God for your returned health, and we're praying for you as you go, Andrew. Other prayers today? Is that a yawn? Okay. Hey, Gloria.
Dylan's home from the hospital. He had been in ICU with a bad asthma attack, so he's doing very well. Now, thank you for all your prayers. But now I have another request. I have two friends of mine who are both waiting for lung transplants, and one of them just got listed at Boston. The other one is waiting to be listed, hopefully by the end of December, and both of them are very much in need of prayers, so thank you. And Deborah and Alda, their name, Deborah and Alda.
We're praying for Deborah and Alda, and giving thanks for Dylan Home. Hi, Sally.
Hi. As the troops come home from Iraq, let us be grateful and embrace them and pray for peace in the world, that all of our troops can come home very soon.
Prayers for peace in this season. Thanks, Sally. Prayers. Another that we wanted to share with you today is we've been praying for Terry Owusu-Shields, who's been in the hospital for some time. She came home on Friday. And so she's there with Nicholas, and we'll probably see her soon here in worship, but she continues to convalesce there at home. Other prayers. Okay.
Let us pray. We come to you, great God, in awe of your care for us, in gratitude for life day by day, for the creation you call forth and redeem. We pray for our world, for too many places living in fear or despair, war and injustice, and dare to pray that your perfect will for love, justice, and peace may reign in hearts of leaders and countries. We pray for those who work to make it so. We pray for troops returning home from Iraq and those remaining in places of war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and their families who love them and miss them in these holidays. We give thanks for the joys of our lives in this season, as we should in all seasons, for the gift of being together as family, for Eric's presence with his larger family of faith here, for him and for Theo as they grow together in the Patton household, for Andrew's healing and presence here, for strength in these days, particularly for Terry and Nicholas, day by day. We pray for your healing hand upon those who struggle with pain or illness, for Deborah and Alta awaiting lung transplants, with joy for Dylan's return home and with prayers for his sensible recuperation, for Marcus. We give thanks for all those who share their gifts and talents with this community in time, talent, and tithe, in service, coming together for witness both in this place and beyond these walls. We pray for our students working to finish up this semester and for those who minister to them, for energy and love to see glimpses of the mystery and wonder of this Advent season. Help us ever, O God, as a community to be sensitive to those in particular needs or stress in these days, as we pray for those in recovery, in grief, for those nearing the end of life, all through the power and the amazing mystery of your love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are excused to their classes at this time to go downstairs, and older youth are invited to stay and worship for communion.
Our Old Testament Testament lesson this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Listen now to the word of the Lord. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Our New Testament lesson this morning is taken from the first chapter of Mark. Hear now the word of the Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our middle hymn this morning is O Come, Emmanuel, led by the worship band. You're invited to stand as we sing together. Thank you. Good morning. The voice of one cries out in the wilderness and says, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." This morning we have heard two beautiful passages of scripture, one from the prophet Isaiah, the other from the Gospel of Mark. Both of these readings point us toward our need in this Advent season to prepare the way for the Lord to come again. This is a season of preparation and expectation as we look again toward the Advent, or coming, of Jesus. And alongside these two familiar stories from Scripture about preparing the way, I want to share with you today as we begin another story of preparation. This is not a story from the Bible. It's actually a children's bedtime story. It's Abigail's favorite. It's called Who is Coming to Our House? I took some pictures to put on the screen so you can follow along. They're not professional grade, so bear with me. Here's the story. Who is coming to our house? Someone, someone, says Mouse. Make room, says Pig. I will butt aside the rig. We must clean, says Lamb. Dust the beams, says Ram. Who is coming to our house? Someone, someone, says the Mouse. Sweep the earth, says Chick. Stack the hay, says Goose, and quick. Spin new webs, says Spider. I will line the crib with eider. Who is coming to our house? Someone, someone, says Mouse. Someone's coming from afar. I will nose the door ajar. But it is dark, says Cat. They will never come, says Rat. Yes, they'll come, says Mouse. Someone's coming to this house. I will lay an egg, says Hen. I will spread my tail for them. Who is coming to our house? Mary and Joseph, whispers Mouse. Welcome, welcome to our house. With the eager expectation of both children and barnyard animals, we come today to open ourselves once again for God's word as it comes to us, and for the ways that we might also prepare our homes and our hearts for Christ's coming in this season. As we begin today, let us pray. O God of glory and might, you come to us as a little child, and we await your coming. Open now the words of Scripture to us that we might find here a word from you for our lives, that you might give us promises to rely on and actions to live out as we go from this place. In Christ we pray. Amen. What does God want from us for Christmas? Or what is God asking us to do or be about here in these days and weeks that lead up to the celebration of Jesus' birth? Simply put, I believe that we are being invited into the work of preparing the way for Jesus, to prepare for, to make room for, to get ready for the coming of Christ. This is God's message to each one of us today. Prepare. The prophet Isaiah writes, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be lifted up. Every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people shall see it together." You see, the glory of the Lord is about to be revealed, and we're going to see it, we're going to sing it, we're going to celebrate it all together when Christmas comes. But before that happens, in this season, as we await its arrival, God is asking us to prepare the way. But how? How should we prepare for Christ's coming? I want to look with you today at three ways that Isaiah gives us in this passage of Scripture, three things that need to be happening as we prepare the way for Christ to be revealed. Isaiah writes first that every valley will be lifted up. Every valley will be lifted up, which is just another way of saying that those who are down in the dumps or in some kind of depression or recession, those of us who are walking through a deep valley in our lives, that we have reason to hope. The first way that we can prepare ourselves for Jesus coming at Christmas is to be attentive and on the lookout for signs of hope, even when we're walking through a valley. Isaiah was writing to a people who knew about walking through a valley. They had been sent away into exile, sent off far from their home country. They were cut off from the kind of life that they knew God intended for them. They were put down. They were left behind. They were in this valley of despair. You know, in the Bible, there's a kind of spiritual topography where being on a mountaintop is seen as a really good or high experience, but being in a valley is just being down low. It's a bad place to be. We think of the valley of dry bones from the prophet Ezekiel, or the valley of judgment from the prophet Joel, or the valley of the shadow of death from Psalm, what's that Psalm? 23. In our own times, we might think of Death Valley, which is the hottest and driest and lowest place in North America. To walk through a valley in our lives is to be lost and wandering. It's to be parched and thirsty. It's to be lacking in something we need. And I wonder if you might be feeling that way this Advent season, where all around you, you hear that we're supposed to have a holly jolly Christmas, but maybe it doesn't feel so jolly for you. Maybe you're wondering how you're going to get through these next few weeks as papers and exams come due, or as bills pile up to be paid, or as expectations for the perfect family Christmas, just like last year, build. Maybe you're plagued by worries about your job or lack of job, about your relationship or lack of relationship, about your kids or your lack of kids, about your money or lack of money. I wonder if you might be down in a valley in these days. You know, in the Appalachian Mountains, they have a word for a valley. They call it a hollow. They pronounce it a holler, down in the holler. And I wonder if that's the kind of valley you might even be experiencing these days, where life feels kind of hollow or empty. Preparing yourself for Christmas seems like the last thing you would want to do. Well, here is a word from the Lord for you today. Isaiah writes, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, who walks in a valley, and cry out to her that she has served her term and her penalty is paid. Every valley, God says, shall be lifted up. The places where we are missing something in our lives, or where there is scarcity that we can't seem to fill, it is God who comes to fill us up." If you're in that kind of hopeless place this morning, down in a valley, maybe this should be your memory verse for the season of Advent. It's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." The coming of Jesus is the great hope and light for the world, because in Jesus all of our valleys and deficits, our scarcity and our needs will be met. And so our simple task in this Advent season, especially we who may walk through a valley, is to wait and watch for signs that God is at work, for signs of God's coming, for signs of that hope that we have in Jesus. Can you do that this week? Will you keep watch for signs of hope? But Isaiah writes that not only valleys will be filled, but also that every mountain will be made low in preparation for the Lord's coming. So we're moving from valleys to mountains, from not having enough, from having almost too much. I wonder if that is your experience in these days. I was with a friend recently, and we parked my car, and I opened the trunk to get something out. And he looked in my trunk and said, "That's amazing. I didn't know you could fit an entire sporting goods store in the back of your car." But it's true. My trunk is filled with footballs, basketballs, racquetballs, tennis balls, beach balls, frisbees, wiffle balls, flag footballs, cones for marking out a field, and jumper cables. You know, in case I'm on the way to a game and I get a dead battery. I have a mountain of stuff, a mountain of sports equipment. And I wonder if you do too. Not just physical stuff, but a mountain of blessings from God in your life. Do you experience that in these days? Where if you were to count your blessings, they would reach from here to the ceiling and beyond. Do you have a mountain of blessings, maybe in your relationships, or in the opportunities you've had, or gifts and abilities you've been blessed with, social networks that you can draw upon, a faith that sustains you, people who love you, not to mention a closet full of stuff, a kitchen full of food, and a trunk full of sports equipment? We live in a land of abundance, and sometimes we have a hard time preparing the way for the Lord because all of our other stuff gets in our way. We're too busy enjoying the life that God has given us to see that God is calling us to do more with our lives than just enjoy it for ourselves. Sometimes we can spend our time enjoying life so much that we miss out on God's calling to us to live for something more than ourselves. We have a mountain of blessing, but Isaiah writes that every mountain and hill will be made low if we are going to prepare the way of the Lord. Maybe you have a mountain of clothes at home, things you rarely use or doesn't really fit anymore. I wonder if bringing that mountain low might mean packing it up, giving some of those things away. Just this last month here in the church, so many of you brought coats to the annual coat drive, offering them to families and people who were going to be a little bit too cold this winter, bringing that mountain low. Or maybe you've got a mountain of food in your pantry, and making that mountain come low means bringing in some canned goods here week by week for the Camp Street Ministries. Or maybe it means cooking a hot meal for one of our new moms, or for a family in crisis. Maybe that mountain of food you have in your kitchen can be used to prepare the way of the Lord by extending hospitality to a foreign exchange student, to someone who's new in town. Can preparing food help you prepare the way of the Lord? Maybe, as you come to the close of this year financially, you're able to finally breathe a little sigh of relief. And you can say, "Thank God we made it through another year." Maybe your finances don't feel like a mountain or even a hill. Maybe more like an anthill or a molehill. Just a little sign, a small way of seeing that God has provided for you, even in these economic hard times. Maybe preparing the way for the Lord this season means prayerfully preparing a pledge card, bringing it into the church, so that as your hill is made low, God's kingdom might grow. So every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain will be made low. We're to look for signs of hope, and we're to use our blessings to bless others. And finally today, Isaiah gives us a third way of preparing for the Lord's coming. He says that the uneven ground shall become level and rough places made plain or smooth. Are there rough places in your life, I wonder? This time of year, when stress levels are running at their highest, it's often our relationships with the people we are closest with that suffer most. We can become strained and pushed to the limits. Things can get a little rough around the edges with our spouse or our families, our close friends, our roommates, our coworkers. Are there rough places in your life this season? I wonder what you might be able to do to make that smooth. Is there a step you can take? Forgiveness long withheld. A hand raised out in friendship, a conversation you've been meaning to have, but you've waited. Is there a rough place that needs to be smooth for you? Consider your own relationships in this season. One of the beautiful things about the communion table, which you see laid before you this morning, is that we don't come to it as mountain people or valley people. We come to it as God's people. Not as God's people as if we have figured it all out, but God's people in this sense, that even though we go through rough and uneven times in our lives, even though we walk through valleys and through mountains with relationships that can be battered or broken down, even though we have work to do this Advent, despite all that, we come as ones trusting God, the one who provides for us, the one who invites us, the one who prepares the table for us. Prepare the way of the Lord. What does it mean for you this Advent season? Probably the best way that we can begin this journey, this Advent season, is to come to this table. Come as valley people, come as mountain people if you wish, but come as God's people. For the things of God which you see laid before you have been prepared for you. Even as we prepare the way of the Lord, our God in Christ has already done it, has already laid a banquet before us, has already prepared the place for you to come and be fed, that you might go out from this place to live in this Advent season in a new way. Won't you come? You know, this table which is set is not a Presbyterian table. It's actually a table set and open to all who put their faith in Jesus and seek to follow him in their lives. It's a place for you, and you are welcome at it today. Today we are going to take communion by the ancient practice of intinction, which means you will come forward and take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and eat it right then. As we come forward, we're all going to sing together, "Just As I Am," without one plea. It will be projected on the screen. You don't even need to bring your hymnal.
Please join with me in the responsive great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Pour forth your blessing, O God, upon these your gifts, for it is by your blessing that we live and move and have our being. Bless now these elements of bread and the cup, that they may be to us a blessing of your life in our lives. Pour forth your Spirit, that we are enlivened through this sacrament, that we are sent forth to serve in your ways, following as your disciples, now and all days. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Hear the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. After blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim our Lord's death until he shall come again." The gifts of God for the people.
Thank you.
pray. O God of all time and place, you call us together to be your people. You call us from the lives that we live day by day and week by week. You call us into this hour in which to worship. You call us into this season to watch and to wait. You call us into preparation for your coming again in the form of the Christ child, born again in our hearts this year. O Lord, we thank you that you have fed us at your table, faithfully given us spiritual food for our journeys. Lord, we walk through valley and through mountain, over uneven ground and rough terrain, and we thank you that you go with us into it all. Great God in heaven, Lord Jesus who comes to us, Holy Spirit who binds us all together, we lift to you these prayers today, thanking you again. Being sent by you, we are enabled to live lives of purpose and of power, to witness to your resurrection love to all that we meet. Bind us together in one heart, we pray. Send us from this place to be your people in the world. Through Christ our Lord, amen.
Morning. I just wanted to take a minute or two to sort of announce again that today we will be starting the Alternative Giving, which is the program that we run during the season of Advent for the opportunity to take a moment to think about what we are trying to do during this holiday season and thinking about the needs of others. And trying to keep that message in mind during all of these this talk about Black Friday and spending money and the pressure of buying gifts. So if you're familiar with the program, it's basically the same as we've done in the past few years. If you're not familiar with it, certainly feel free to come up and ask me more details. I don't want to take a lot of time today, but basically I just wanted to run quickly through the process because I know it can be a little bit confusing. In the Hope Room, on the bulletin board, you will see all the organizations that we've selected to donate to or to give gifts to, and there'll be a little bio of each organization on the bulletin board that you can read. And then if it's something that's intriguing to you, in a little envelope, you'll see these little donation slips. You can just grab one. And then on the slip, it'll describe what gifts there are available to give. So what you're going to do is you're going to rip off the top half. This is for you to give to the person that you so choose. And then you're going to fill out the bottom part, which tells us exactly what you'd like to give and how much. And then you'll walk it over to the desk in the back of the Hope Room, give it to myself or somebody else who's working there. I think Anne-Marie is somewhere floating around. She'll be there as well. And give us this, and then we will give you a holiday card or Christmas card that you can then put the top half of your slip into as a description of that gift for the person. There are actually a couple of organizations that have given us their own inserts, so you'll be getting a different card, actually. But and then when you're done with that, we would like you to give us either check or cash. We don't take credit cards yet. And then we will, at the end of the season, right after the new year, we'll be sending all of the organizations the money that we've collected on their behalf. So thank you very much for your time. If you have any questions, we'll be available.
In a spirit of humble praise and thanksgiving, we'll now receive the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these gifts and use them to nourish our congregation, our community, and our world, and to prepare the way of your coming. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Looking for signs of hope, sharing our blessings with others, making smooth the parts of our lives that are rough. Go forth into the world in peace, and be of good courage, holding fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil, but support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all persons' love, and serve